This is Dr. Todd Aaron. He graduated from Northeastern State University, has a master's from Dallas Theological Seminary, and a doctorate from Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. He is the founder and international director of the Traveling Team, which is a national missions mobilization movement. He and his wife, Jessica, have spent almost two decades traveling both nationwide and abroad, speaking to thousands of people about involvement in world evangelism. Todd has exposure in over 60 countries and has lived in the Middle East. He is also the author of The Abrahamic Revolution and In This Generation, which if you are interested in digging a little bit deeper in what he spoke about yesterday and today, he does have some of the books that are out in the lobby that you can purchase if you'd like to. And with that, let's give a big Skiff Lake Bible Church welcome to Dr. Todd Aaron.
All right. I flew in from Arkansas. We've got a house there. We've got like forest in the back. And my kids, they take my good spoons back there and they dig. And it bothers me. They take my good spoons. And one day my daughter, she came running in. She's like, Dad, I found an ancient Indian arrowhead. And I was like, oh my gosh, let me see it. I looked at it. I held it. I'm like, you're right. This is an ancient Indian arrowhead. She grabbed it back for me and she said, I gotta clean it. She gets in the sink, she clogs the sink, she gets the water in the sink, she gets up in the sink, she grabs the Clorox, the magic eraser, her brother's toothbrush, and for literally a half an hour, she is cleaning this ancient Indian arrowhead. And after a half an hour of cleaning this ancient Indian arrowhead, all I hear from the kitchen is this. Are you kidding? That's all I hear. I said, what is it, sis? She said, this isn't an ancient Indian arrowhead. This is a rock. She said, I spent 30 minutes polishing a rock. I'm like, oh my goodness, perfect homeschool moment. I went up to her and I said, Camden, the world offers you a rock to polish. God gives you a purpose to pursue. She wept. The world offers you a rock to polish. God offers you a purpose to pursue. My daughter spent 30 minutes polishing a rock. Some of us in here, some of our Christian friends, some of our family members will spend 30 years polishing a portfolio or a resume or a savings just so that I retirement. Oh my gosh. And God says, no, I want to invite you into my purpose of being a goer or a sender and seeing all nations come to know him. And so as we're invited into that story, we all have obstacles and issues, and we're like, oh my goodness, how do I do it? What's my role? We're all to be a part. The question is, how and where do we play a part? And really, we want to anchor ourselves in the mission of God. We want to anchor ourselves in the Bible. This is not just a personal story of like someone who went to Brazil. This is God and what he's been doing since the ancient time. And so we're just going to walk through the heart and mission of God so that when we leave here, we're clear we all have a part to play. So if you had no knowledge of the Bible and you pick one up, the first 11 chapters is just the introduction. And you see this, and you can summarize the first 11 chapters into four words: creation, fall, flood, nations. That's the first 11 chapters in four words: creation, fall, flood, nations. And in Genesis chapter 11, we see the nations scattered. Here we go, Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and a common speech. As of right now, there was only one language. That's it. And God had told them, fill the earth, fill the earth, fill the earth, make my name famous. And guess what they said? Come, let us build for ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Mankind said, no thanks, Lord. And so what does God do? He comes down, he judges, he scatters, and he divides them based on languages. So now in Genesis 11, we go from one language to 70 languages. 70 languages. Genesis chapter 11. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they don't understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. Genesis chapter 11, God scatters them And now we go from one language to 70. And so what's God going to do? How is he going to respond? How is he going to bring back these different languages? All you have to do to find out what God's going to do next and to see how he's going to bring all these languages back is turn the page to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, here's what you see. This is where the mission of God begins. In Genesis chapter 12, you're going to see God pick a man, from that man make him a family, from that family make him a nation, and from that nation make him a great nation. And that nation is going to be Israel, the man's going to be Abraham, and they're to bless all nations. That's going to be the theme of the rest of Scripture. From a man, Abraham, he's going to create a family, from the family, a nation, from the nation, a great nation, from the great nation to bless all nations. And so look at the difference, Genesis 11 to Genesis 12. Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to land I will show you. I will make you great. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. But all those languages that I scattered in chapter 11 are going to be blessed through you. Through you, I'm going to bless all nations. And he says this over and over again. In Genesis 18, he'll say it a second time. Abraham will become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed in him. He'll say it a third time in Genesis 22. In your offspring, all the nations on earth will be blessed. He'll say it another time in Genesis 26. Isaac, I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Now he's telling it to Abraham's son. Hey, it's coming to you. All the nations on the earth will be blessed. And then a fifth time in Genesis, Genesis 28, five Abrahamic commissionings. Three to Abraham, one to Isaac, and then this one to Jacob. Jacob, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west, to the east, the north, the south. And here it is, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so look at what God's doing. Even just before you leave Genesis, you see God using a man, creating a family, creating a nation to bless all nations. He takes them into Egypt for 400 years. Why? Because he wants to grow the nation of Israel. When they go into Egypt, there's 70 of them. And then when they come out of Egypt, there's 3 million of them. So for 400 years in between Genesis 50 and Exodus 1, you see God growing the nation. And then it's time to bring him out. I have raised you up for this very purpose, Pharaoh, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. God creating a man, creating a family, creating a nation to bless all nations. They don't know who they are, though. They don't know who they are. They don't know their identity. And so God tells them in Exodus 19, he says this, Moses, go up to the mountain and say to Israel, this is what you're to say to the house of Jacob, to the people of Israel. You have seen how I carried you to Egypt, and I brought you out of Egypt, and I carried you on eagle's wings. Now watch this. Now if you obey me fully, here's three things that you're going to be. Here's three things that you're going to be. You're going to be my treasured possession. That means I move you where I want. You're going to be a kingdom of priests. That means you represent me in front of all the nations. A priest is a mediator. Israel, you are my kingdom of mediators. I bless you. You bless the nations. You're my treasured possession. You're my kingdom of priests. You are my holy nation. You bear my name to all nations. It's like, wow, Lord, this is great. But we don't know what grieves you. We don't know what you long for. We don't know your desires. And so he gives them something called the law. Look at this in Deuteronomy. He gives them the law. I have taught you these decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me. Observe them carefully. Why? Because you're going to bear my name to the nations, and you've got to know what I love and long for and grieves me. So he gives them the law so they would know how to respond to the nations, how to bring the nations in, how to show them the uniqueness of Yahweh, of God. From a man comes a family, comes a nation to bless all nations. But here they are. They're wandering in the desert, and they say, God, we don't have a spot to bear your name. We got the law. We know we're a treasured possession. We know we're a kingdom of priests. And so he says, I'm going to give you the land. Deuteronomy chapter 1, I've taught you. I've set the land before you. Go and take possession of it. So now, look at this. What began in Genesis 12 with a man now is 3 million people. Now they have the law. Now they have the land. Now they can represent him and bear his name to the nations. And then God just gives them an extra little kiss. He puts in the nation something called temple. And the temple was where heaven and earth touched. The temple was the most important point on planet earth. If you wanted to know God, you made your way to the temple. That temple was everything. And listen to what it says. As Solomon dedicates the temple, you can see this Genesis 12 mission inside of it. As for the foreigner, the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amalekites, who are not Israelites, when they come from their land, and they will come, and when they come into this temple and pray, hear from heaven, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you. This is Israel living up to their kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a treasured possession. And you just stop at 2 Chronicles and you just pause and you're like, oh my gosh, it's working. The plan of God is working. Like, this is crazy. Like, what began in Genesis 12, from a man came a family, from a nation, all nations, it's working. The nations are coming. It's like, this is incredible. And then you look at 1 Kings. King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. The whole world sought an audience with Solomon. It's working. The plan of God from Genesis 12, the mission of God that Israel would bear his name among the nations, is working. You scratch your head as the Bible reader, and you're like, this is awesome. This is epic. Are you kidding me? It can't get any better. It can. Psalms. He gives them the Psalms to sing. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the earth, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Confucianism, Taoism, atheism, are worthless idols. The Lord made the heavens. It's like, wow. It's working, friends. It's working. From a man comes a family, comes a nation to bless all nations. I just want to sit here and soak in the amazement of the plan of God working. What could possibly go wrong? The more the nation of Israel was blessed, the more disobedient they became. Listen to Ezekiel. Wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name, for it was said of them, these are the Lord's people. Yet they had to leave his blessing. I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations. Hear me out, friends. Hear me out. The more Israel was blessed, the more they forgot the blesser. The more they were blessed, the more they forgot the blesser. And I tell you what, this is my problem. This is my problem. When I'm 25, I'm like, I'll go anywhere, Lord. Send me to Yemen. I don't even know where that's at. Go to Yemen at 25, come back, buy a house, have some kids, get a checking account, get a mortgage, get an iPhone, get a truck, get a Suburban, get a back fence, expand my backyard, concrete, back porch, get a swing, get some sod, get a sprinkler system, get some plants, renovate the kitchen, get a better job, get a bigger savings, get a bigger house, get a pool. I've just forgotten one thing. I'm not interested in missions anymore. I'm interested in me. I'm at a different age and stage. I got kids in junior high. I can't play a part. And what happens is the more I'm blessed, the more disobedient I become. And here's the problem with that. The older you get, the more stuff you get, the harder it gets to stay involved. The older you get, the more stuff you get, the harder it gets to stay involved. It's just difficult. Okay? So every morning when I wake up, I fight against four words. There's four words that I fight against. I don't say these words out loud. They're in my heart, though. Okay? And throughout the day, these four words, they just sort of pop out. Okay? And I try to contain them, and I don't say them out loud. The first word is, as soon as I wake up, it happens. I grab my phone from the nightstand. I do a Face ID, and it goes into my bank account. And the first word my heart says is savings. And I look at my savings, and I say, grow, little guy, grow. Get a comma. Grow. And then I walk downstairs and I make a cup of coffee. My daughter comes up from the basement. My other daughter comes up from the basement. My son comes up from the basement. My other son comes up from the basement. My other son comes up from the basement. And my other son comes down the stairs. And I gather all my kids around, and I say the second word of the day. Safety. Keep them safe, Lord. Keep them safe. And then I go to work, and I say my third word of the day. Resume. Make me more famous than all my friends. And then I come home, and I say the fourth word of the day. Relax. You deserve it. And friends, those four words, saving, safety, resume, relax, is what 98% of all Christians give their life to. And then God invites us into his global, eternal, unfulfilled mission to reach all language groups. And by this time, I'm like, sorry, Lord, you should have got me when I was 25. I'm busy now, and I need to rent a storage unit for all this stuff. And that's what happens, friends. Where Israel fails, the church will prevail. And in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the church will reach the nations. The church, us. Where Israel fails, the church will prevail. And so Jesus, remember there was five Abrahamic commissionings, Genesis 12, Genesis 18, Genesis 22, Genesis 26, Genesis 28. There's five commissionings to the church. And I'm going to give them to you in chronological order as the disciples heard them. The first commissioning statement is John 20, 21. This is the shortest of the commissioning statements. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. Imagine if this is the only commissioning statement we have. If this is the only commissioning statement we have, and someone asks you at lunch, what is the mission of the church? You would say, we're sent ones. Well, where are you sent to? He didn't tell me. Well, what are you going to say when you're sent there? He didn't tell me. Well, how long are you supposed to stay there? He didn't tell me. Well, how do you know when you've accomplished it? He didn't tell me. All I know is that we are to go. We are sent ones to go. But friends, the second Great Commission text adds to the first Great Commission text. The second Great Commission text is Luke 24. Luke 24, this tells me what I'm to say and where I am to go. Luke 24, say the gospel that Christ lived and died and rose again on the third day. That's called the gospel. That's what we're to share. Christ lived and died and rose again on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached to the nations. So in Luke 24, we find out we're to go and preach the gospel to all nations. That's what we learned from Luke 24. Luke 24 and John 20:21. If that's all you had, friends, you would go and preach the gospel to all nations. And the third Great Commission text is just a summary of the first two. Mark 16:15 literally says, go and preach the gospel to the nations. And so if all we had were the first three Great Commission texts, and someone says to you, what are you supposed to do as a believer? You would say, oh, I am to go and speak the life, death, and resurrection of Christ to all nations. But friends, the fourth Great Commission verse really puts another 12 years on it. It makes it way harder. The fourth Great Commission text adds a 12-year time frame. What do I mean by that? Look at this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make Christians. No. Therefore, go and share the gospel. No. Therefore, go and build church buildings. No. Therefore, go and do world evangelization. No. Therefore, go and make a disciple. Lord, problem. That's going to take a lot of time. If you're telling me a disciple is someone who's baptized and is doing all that you've taught us, I don't even do all that you've taught me. I know, as you are being a disciple, you go make disciples. Lord, making a disciple is going to be a lot longer than just making them pray a prayer. Yeah, it takes eight to nine months to have a baby. It takes 18 to 19 years to get that baby out of your house. The easy part is having the baby. The hard part is getting that baby out of your house. Jesus says, don't just go and make converts. I'm looking for disciples. That means it's going to take me about 10 years to learn Hindi, share the gospel with a Hindi who's a Hindu, lead him to Christ, and then teach him all that God taught us, baptize him, and then get him to a point where he can teach others. That's a decade. Man, Lord, I just wanted to be a sent one. Why are you making it so difficult? He wants disciples in every language group. And the fifth Great Commission text, Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses, you will speak, you will receive power, the Holy Spirit, and you will go, like John says, and he's going to say the ends of the earth poetically, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So friends, Don't miss this. If you took the key words from all five Great Commission texts, if you took the key words from all five Great Commission texts, go, nations, speak, make disciples, Holy Spirit. Go, speak, make disciples, Holy Spirit, nations. And you put those into one sentence. If you took the five most important words of the five Great Commission texts, and you put them into one sentence, here's what it's going to say. Here's what it's going to say. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, you are to go, John 20:21, Luke 24:46, Matthew 28, to all nations, Luke 20:46, Matthew 28, make disciples, Matthew 28, by speaking the gospel, Mark 16:15, and gathering them into healthy churches, Matthew 16:18. And if you just do this with your life, you're not going to miss the mission of God. But the problem is, all those blessings, we just get so consumed where the blessings we're holding are really holding us. The blessings we're holding are really holding us. And if you look at the New Testament and then challenging the church, they're just going to go back and remember what God said to Israel and say it to the church. I mean, listen to 1 Peter. This sounds like Exodus 19. You, church, are a chosen people. Wow, that sounds like treasured possession in Exodus 19. You are a royal priesthood. Wow, that sounds like a kingdom of priests in Exodus 19. You're a holy nation. Wow, that sounds like exactly what God said to Israel in Exodus 19. You, church, are to proclaim the riches of the goodness of God and bring those out of darkness into a great light. And Paul the Apostle, he knew how important that temple was. He knew how important that temple was. He knew the temple was the dwelling place of God. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He was a Jew of Jew. And listen to what he says about us. You are the temple of God. So now your neighbor can know God because you're there. When you go to Malaysia, now God is there because you are the temple. In the Old Testament, people had to journey to the temple to know God. Now the temple is going out to the world. In the Old Testament, the people were to come and see. In the New Testament, we're to go and tell. In the Old Testament, the people were to come and see. Come and see the temple. Come and see the Lord. In the New Testament, now we're to go and tell. And the conclusion. Listen to Romans. Listen to what Paul says. We have received grace to bring about obedience of faith for the sake of the name among the nations. If you'd ask Paul, when were you called into missions? He would say, at salvation. I received grace, and the result of that is now an obligation to go to the nations. Whether it's by going here, going there, welcoming the nations who come here, praying, going, mobilizing. And the conclusion? The conclusion in Revelation 5:9. What God began in Genesis 12, through a man, making a family, making a nation, making a great nation to bless all the nations, it comes to a conclusion. And there is a great multitude which no one can count from every tribe and language and people and nation. The only question is, are we on board? Are we on board? Are we engaged? Or are we just trying to make sure, when do I take my retirement? When do I need to do that? Are we engaged? Or are we just like, oh man, I just want to buy a Winnebago. Are we engaged? Or are we like, man, I'm on grandkid duty. That's sort of where I'm at right now. Are we engaged? Or are we saying, man, I want to raise my kids to be workers in the harvest of the unreached? Because God invites us into his global, eternal, and unfulfilled purpose to reach all nations, and we need to respond. And so, Lord, that's our prayer this morning, is that indeed we would respond, that we would be affected in how we live and how we give and how we raise our kids. Lord, that we would pray for our kids and our grandkids to be workers among the unreached, that we would open up our savings, our our bank accounts to you, that we would give sacrificially, that we would be the first to step up and invite our neighbor, share the gospel, and make disciples. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.